Ever since college, this has been my favorite feast day of the church. It's coupled with one of my least favorite readings, which is the Beatitudes. You know, they sound great to listen to, but they're hard to put into practice. I mean, it's really a difficult thing. And yet, that's an image of heaven. You want to know what heaven looks like? Listen to those Beatitudes. That's the goal. It's a mirror opposite of this world that we're in now. I think that part of the grace of this feast for us is to help open our imagination to the world to come. It's a world that is very close to us. The people, tomorrow we celebrate All Souls, these people who have passed away now see everything. And they see the great plan that God had, and that we all have a part in it, no matter how it looks in the present world. But we get this image, and that's all it is. We can't really see through the veil of faith beyond what God gives us. And the people in this reading, I think, you know, it's interesting. It starts out with something that's very topical for us. You know, the East Coast just came through this hurricane. I was watching looking at some of the pictures from there. And this reading is right in the middle of the book of Revelation, which not only it sounds like it's about the end of the world, but it's also describing things in the first century where people are being viciously persecuted for the faith and needed encouragement. And the angel comes up before the living God holding his seal and says, "Don't do any damage to the land or the sea or the trees until we have the seal of God on their foreheads." In other words, the time of the end will not come until everyone who is to be called has that seal. What is that seal? It's the seal of baptism, the seal that I belong to Christ at the end of the age. And I think that when it comes to things like the hurricane, people didn't realize how strong this could happen. I think governor of New Jersey said they worse than anything he could have imagined. But it's because we have short memories. We haven't been around that long. You know, you look over the course of history, and these things happen. But we don't plan for them because we don't realize what can happen. And our Lord gives us this image to show us what will happen. And it's an image, I like to think that we're all in it. You know, these are people who have won the victory of life. They're wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands. They stand before the throne of God and the Lamb. This is, first we start out with 144,000. Nobody knows quite who they are. One could go into that, but the rest is every people from every tribe and nation and tongue and race. Now, this is an extraordinary vision because at the time this is being spoken, Christianity is by and large a sect of Judaism. So it's a vision of the future in which all the world has heard the gospel, but people of every time, even those who weren't privileged enough to have heard Christ, but who have, as far as they were able, lived the gospel, will be there. And it'll be an interesting scene. And they've all survived the time of great distress. This is not only the persecution of the Roman Empire, but all of us are living in a time of great distress, and it's called life. They're holding the white palm of martyrdom. And that means they have been through something for God. I think we tend to think that if we work hard enough, we can reach a position in life where things are fairly normal or things are flowing the way they ought to. But you and I both know how quickly things can change. We find that life takes a right turn and nothing is the same again. You look at some of these pictures from New York. The one I found most extraordinary, I didn't have much time to do this, but like many of you, I just felt the need to be a part of this a little bit. And in our connected age, somebody had a video of when the city blacked out. They just happened to be at that moment. And at that moment, everything that people depend on suddenly disappeared, you know? It was like nothing was the same again. This is the kind of thing that our Lord points to, and he points out to us that life is a battle zone and that we are called to be saints in the midst of this. That everything in our lives is geared towards the world to come, the life of the future. And periodically, the Lord shows us where we're going so that when we go back in the midst of life, that we have a a goal in mind, a vision. If we see the future in our minds, even if it's an image, it gives us hope of something yet to come. I'm very anxious to be a part of this group of people, and people that I know, people I don't know, all of us together hearing God explaining all of human history, all of it in one place, all glorifying God, all cleansed of our sins. It's a very powerful image, and it gives us hope, especially when we're stuck in our day-to-day worlds of things that we can't change or we don't understand the meaning of suffering. Well, everyone in the picture has suffered. They've won the victory, not by themselves, but by the Lamb of God. They didn't forgive themselves. God forgave them. They're not perfect. They were perfected. This gives us all hope. The world that they will inherit is one that makes us pause for a little moment, makes me think, God, I'm anxious to go there, but I need a little more time. The people that will be the happiest there will be the ones that were poor in spirit, those that mourned, the meek, the ones that hungered for righteousness, the merciful, the clean of heart. I don't know how many of you can't wait to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. All of you who want that, raise your hands. That's what I thought. I don't want to either. Blessed are you when you're insulted and persecuted and every kind of evil spoken against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, your reward will be great in heaven. It's going to be a place of many surprises. We will find, I think, that the things that we found the most difficult and perhaps bitter to swallow will have the greatest rewards in heaven. We may wish we had a few more of them when it's over with. It's hard to imagine that. I'm not advocating that, but I think God wants us to use our imagination a little bit, that nothing he permits in our lives is without its reward, its effect, its benefit to us in the long run. And so this is really a vision of the saints, the small s, the overwhelming majority of those never canonized, not recognized, but in the next world, they will definitely be the stars of the show. And all of these are causes for rejoicing. So as we go forward then in this Feast of All Saints, we thank God that the Lord has also prepared a place for us, and that he gives meaning to our own walk of life, that whatever palm we're holding in our hands, we all have our own sufferings, that they all have meaning, and we will see the purpose of it all in the world to come.